Listening Air Dimension, Seventh Wave Network.
Good morning, and welcome to Being Here with host Ariel and Shia Kane. The Kanes will take you on an exciting exploration which will open the door to living in the moment. Now, here are your hosts, Ariel and Shia.
Hello, everybody.
And welcome to Being Here.
Good morning, afternoon.
Or evening, depending on what part of the globe you happen to be located on.
The theme for today is transformation
in the workplace. Now, since most of us spend most of our time at our job, wouldn't it be lovely if our job would be a place where we could find well-being and satisfaction?
That sounds good.
It does sound good.
It definitely sounds good.
I mean, you know, most of our lives are spent there. You know, if you think about it, 5 or 6 days a week, most people go to work for 8 hours a day.
Unless you're a homemaker and you have children, then
and
it's
then
a 24/7.
Then that's your location job. And you can either be there enjoying it or you can be complaining about it. But let's talk about listening first.
Now, we always like to start with listening. So don't tune out because you've heard it before.
Or you think you've heard it before.
Tune in because listening pulls you into being here.
And if you listen to hear what's being said rather than to agree or disagree or say to yourself, oh, I know this already, if you actually listen, it will pull you into the moment. And the moment is this magical place that transformation takes place. So, true listening is intentionally recreating another person's communication. So, in other words, you're listening to what they're saying from their point of view.
All right, so you want a transformation in the workplace? Try actually listening rather than listening to somebody and typing emails at the same time.
Try actually listening to what they're saying rather than thinking about what you have to do after you finish talking with them.
Because, you know, the three principles of transformation, what you resist persists, takes longer, dominates your life. So if you're not listening to somebody who comes into your office, for instance, and they're talking to you about something, the more you don't listen, the longer the communication takes because the person doesn't feel heard. What you resist persists, takes longer, dominates your life. Second principle of transformation, you can only be
exactly
as you are
in this moment of now. That means you can only be where you are, having the body sensations you're having, having the physical feelings you're having, the thoughts you're having, the emotions you're having, the state of awareness that you have, all of it.
So if your workplace is a happy place today, that's the only way it can be.
And if it's whatever
stressful or you're
that's the opposite
behind on a deadline, that's the only way it can be. And in fact, that's exactly where it needs to be in order to have your workplace transform. Third principle,
anything that you allow to be exactly
as it is
will complete itself.
So it's really important if you want your workplace to transform to get interested honestly, non-preferentially in seeing what is. Ugh, that's hard.
Awareness. Our technology is based in awareness. Instantaneous transformation happens with awareness. Awareness is a non-judgmental seeing of anything. Now, what's interesting is if awareness is a non-judgmental seeing, and the third principle says anything that you see and allow to be as it is, in other words, non-judgmentally, non-preferentially, it completes itself. So awareness is the third principle, that anything that you allow to be as it is will complete itself. And you can't allow it to be as it is to change it, fix it, or get rid of it, because that's the first principle.
See, there's a big difference between change and transformation. We're not talking about change the workplace. We're talking about transformation in the workplace.
So that what was previously something that you didn't look forward to going to could be a place that you feel well and satisfied and in tune with yourself, where, you know, it's a matter of your being at work becomes a satisfying expression of yourself into life.
If you heard that, I'm sure you've heard this expression, wholehearted. It requires a wholeheartedness, really being where you are. You want your workplace to transform? I'll bet you some of you who are listening have other employees who work with you who you find annoying. Well, you are annoyable. If you want to transform your workplace, your attention has to be with you. It all starts with you. And if you can discover how to be present in your circumstances without complaining to yourself in your internal conversation,
which in itself is a monumental task, because most of us, our whole internal conversation is one big complaint about not wanting to do what we have to do, not liking certain aspects of our job, certain aspects of what we have to do. So we complain to ourselves internally about it. And you see, the second principle of transformation says that no two things can occupy the same space at the same time. So you can either be complaining about your job or you can be doing your job. One, complaining produces absolutely no results and no satisfaction. The other, you can do your work and discover satisfaction whilst doing it.
So I'll give you an example. We once had a fellow come to one of our Transformation in the Workplace weekend seminars, and I'll call him Brad for the sense, just for the sake of this conversation. And Brad came in, and he had filled out an online questionnaire where we found out what people's goals were for the course or what they were interested in or the things they thought they were good at work or the things they found challenging. And Brad had a very long list about how different coworkers were slow. He was on a commission sales, and how they would mess up his
orders. They would
sabotage
his ability to produce results.
And how they were stupid, and how you interface with stupid people, that type of thing. So he came to the workshop, and he was very, very enthusiastic guy, very high energy, smart man, college educated, which doesn't necessarily make you smart, but he was a very smart guy. And as the course progressed, we would ask for examples, he would volunteer.
He would be the first to volunteer, and he was so competitive that he beat everybody else, so pretty soon people just stopped trying to compete with him.
And interestingly enough, there were all sorts of people who had never met Brad before, but they started to feel disgruntled with him. They were not feeling in harmony with him. And at some point, we asked him if he was aware that he was building a consensus around him, and he was totally unaware of it. And the people were very kind and very gently told him how they felt
by his competition, how it affected them. And so at the end of the course, Brad went back to his job.
And he had slowed down a little bit to being here rather than being so fast,
so driven
to produce what he thought was going to make him happy. And all of a sudden, all of these people who hadn't been in the course
that were problematic at his job
weren't stupid any longer. They weren't problematic. Later, people started sharing jokes that had been going around behind his back, like, uh-oh, look out, Brad's going to blow up again. People actually became comfortable enough with him to let him know the type of consequences his way of being
had produced,
because they were now feeling friendly toward him. So if you want your workplace to transform, you have to be willing
to look at you. You see, our approach is anthropological. It's not psychological. So it's not about finding something wrong with you. It's about discovering the way it is that you relate to your life. And in that self-discovery, if you don't judge what you discover, then life unfolds very effortlessly.
Easily, gently. Okay? So that's what we need to take a look at today in transformation in the workplace. And anything else that comes right up front with the three principles? Awareness, a non-judgmental seeing. We said that, right?
Yes. And awareness is key in a transformational approach, because simply becoming aware of how it is that you operate into life is enough to have your way of operating start to support you rather than become problematic.
You know the other thing I think that was really challenging for people?
No, what's that?
I don't think that people have taken a look at the automatic no they have.
Right, right.
One of the things that happened after we discovered the three principles of transformation is that we discovered a lot of people do not like to be told what to do. So that's the basic starting place for transformation in the workplace.
Yeah, and we're about to take a break now, so please stick around. And we have some people on the phone that have called in to ask us questions.
So, we'll come back shortly.
So please join us.
And don't miss being here.
The new home for visionary positive change. Seventh Wave Network.
Ready to be inspired, entertained, and enlightened? Let award-winning authors Ariel and Shia Kane support you in discovering a state of well-being that in the past was rarely, if ever, achieved. Now you too can experience Ariel and Shia's revolutionary new technology, Instantaneous Transformation, that has helped thousands discover how to have more satisfying lives without working on themselves or their problems. Visit www.transformationmadeeasy.com to receive free audio downloads and to sign up for the Kane's weekly newsletter featuring articles, inspiring quotes, and stories from real people just like you who have discovered enlightenment through the Kane's approach. Visit www.transformationmadeeasy.com. Transformationmadeeasy.com.
Improve your spiritual well-being and experience a new way of looking at spirituality and wellness. Tune into Spiritual Evolution with spiritual counselor, healer, and animal communicator, Kelly Marie. Each week, Kelly and her guests explore spiritual problem solving and connecting balance between the body and spirit. Spiritual Evolution with Kelly Marie, broadcast every Tuesday at 9 a.m. Pacific, noon Eastern, on the Seventh Wave Network, your online community for positive change. Spiritual Evolution, expanding the boundaries and broadening the vision of spirituality through inspiration and education.
The last great frontier is the magnificent mystery of the mind. Abundant evidence demonstrates that we have far more talents than we realize, and that our minds are exceptional instruments we can learn to use more fully, just as we'd learn to play a piano or a clarinet. Tune in to The Music of Your Mind, Living the Extraordinary, Thursday mornings at 9 a.m. Pacific Time on the 7th Wave Network, and learn more about how you can hear the wonderful music of your mind.
Awakened Media for a transforming world. Seventh Wave Network.
You are listening to Being Here with hosts Ariel and Shia Kane. Now, back to Being Here.
Welcome back to
Being Here.
Today's theme, transformation in the workplace. And we have Karen on the line. You there, Karen?
Yes. Hi.
Hi.
I'm very excited to call in. I really enjoy your program.
Well, thank you very much.
That's so nice.
I have a question regarding my workplace.
Okay.
Well, tell us. Ask us your question.
I sometimes find it challenging to have people wanting the same thing.
Don't understand your question yet, dear.
Okay. I am an architect.
Okay.
And I constantly have to work with engineers, people from different firms.
Right.
So architect's role is kind of like captain.
Say that again, please.
Architect's role is
yes.
like job captain.
Okay.
So making sure that everyone on board is delivering under the deadline.
Yes.
So you're managing people delivering under a deadline.
That's right.
Okay.
And I thought that it's going to be the same goal for everyone on the team to deliver on the same day.
Yes.
But I don't know if I did not communicate effectively or it's something else that I find sometimes it's really challenging to get everybody to deliver on time.
Right.
So I have a question about these communications about delivering on time.
Yes.
Are most of it, how do you communicate? Is it mostly via email? Is it verbal? How do you do it?
Well, we usually have a meeting,
mm-hmm.
coordination meeting, where everybody's there.
And when you say everybody, who are these everybodies?
Everybody, for instance, the engineers that is working on different perspectives of the job, and also representative from client's side or from contractor.
Okay.
So these are different people that report to, these are people reporting to different people.
Right. Now your job is to coordinate and make sure all of this happens within a certain deadline, yes?
Right. But because time, the schedule is often very tight.
Right.
With a lot of changes.
Yes.
So if I just find that sometimes the goal is not aligned.
Okay.
And
so what's your question, dear?
Well, Ariel was asking me, if I remember it correctly, that how do we usually communicate?
Yes, but
so here's the thing.
I'm beginning to understand.
The thing that I'm finding, where are you from, Karen?
I'm working in New York City.
Okay, and where did you grow up?
I grew up in Asia.
Okay. So one of the things is, part of the reason I asked how the communications happen is that your English and my English are slightly different. So I personally have to slow down and pay attention to make sure I'm understanding what you're saying.
Okay.
So if a person is going somewhere and you are talking to them, there's the potential for miscommunication. That was part of why I wanted to know if part of your communications were verbal or if they were
by email.
The other thing is you, as you're talking, are clear about what you're clear about. But it doesn't necessarily translate over to Shia and I and to the listeners. So there's a very high probability when you're at work
mm-hmm.
that if your attention is on yourself, you're not necessarily communicating to the other people as clearly as you think you are. It's not necessarily getting across.
That's very possible.
And there are some very simple ways to ensure that your communications have gotten across, where you say something like, "Let me be clear. We are all agreed that April 10th is the deadline for this particular piece." Or,
and then, Karen, you have to look and see if they got what you said.
Oh, so it's two-way.
It's two-way. You have to... Communication, Karen, is where you are sending a message over a distance to somebody else, and unless you're sure they received your message, then you can't count on them to deliver in a timely way if they misheard it or didn't get it. See, a lot of people, there is a language thing, you know, because your Asian accent is sufficient to be difficult for some English speakers to understand.
Mm-hmm. But it's not just Asian. When Shai and I spoke in London, our American English to the London English, it was challenging from time to time, the accent for us all to communicate.
Right, but you have to be willing to look and see if they actually get your communication. You may have to ask a question like, "Did you understand that?" Or, "So just so I'm clear that I communicated with you clearly, what is it that I just said to you, you know?"
Right.
I frequently do that when I am working with somebody and it's complex, where I might say to you after giving you instructions and we've agreed upon a deadline, I would say to you, "Karen, can you just please give me back the steps we just agreed upon and the deadline and all that information so I'm clear I communicated clearly. It's not so I'm clear that you got it, Karen. It's so that I'm clear what I had to say came across to you." And often when people communicate back to me, I can see that perhaps I left a step out that was clear to me that I just skipped over in my head.
That's an excellent suggestion, because my communication style in the past with all these consultants, I often send a really lengthy email.
Yes, but you see, there's another piece to this, Karen. You
yes.
want to be liked.
I want to be liked and also effectively communicate.
Yes, but you see, you're wanting to be liked. I said liked, not light.
Light or like?
Liked. L-I-K-E-D.
Like we all want people
to like
us.
So you may not be as straightforward in your communication. That may be why you send lengthy emails. But a lengthy email is much more difficult for people to read when they're in a hurry.
We had somebody working with us or working for us who would send us lengthy emails embedded in which were two or three questions. And I could never get through the email without getting lost before I got to the bottom. You're far better to get clear and become succinct.
I still don't understand why is it, what's the relationship of wanting to be liked and sending out lengthy email?
Well, here's an example. Let's say your boss says, or you've all agreed that the project is due next Tuesday at noon.
Right.
It's easier to send out a lengthy email with lots of other stuff and make the demand for Tuesday at noon somewhere embedded in there, rather than in that meeting say, "Let me be clear, everybody's getting all their pieces to me by Tuesday at noon." because a person who does not want to do that is going to pin their potential disgruntlement on you for making that demand. If you're straightforward and say, I need piece A, B, and C.
By Tuesday
at noon,
that's a lot easier for somebody to understand. Now, they may not
like you
because you demand it, but so you write a lengthy email, a lot of which is fluff. You know what I mean by fluff?
Yeah.
Right. Good. So a lot of it's fluff to have them like you rather than just say, I need this, this, and this by noon.
I'll bet you if you took a look at how much was fluff and filler, your life and your workplace and things would be so streamlined and there'd be far less miscommunication.
And you wouldn't be under pressure all the time on deadlines because a lot of the pressure has to do with your adding extra information so people will like you at the end of the project.
That's so cool.
Now, here's the thing, my dear.
Yeah.
We need to go to a break shortly.
Do you have anything more, or shall we just end with you now?
I'm cool.
Great. Thanks for calling in today, Karen.
We'll all be back,
everybody. Come on back, and don't miss being here.
Taking you to the threshold of a dream and beyond. Seventh Wave Network.
Ready to be inspired, entertained, and enlightened? Let award-winning authors Ariel and Shia Kane support you in discovering a state of well-being that in the past was rarely, if ever, achieved. Now you too can experience Ariel and Shia's revolutionary new technology, Instantaneous Transformation, that has helped thousands discover how to have more satisfying lives without working on themselves or their problems. Visit www.transformationmadeeasy.com to receive free audio downloads and to sign up for the Kane's weekly newsletter featuring articles, inspiring quotes, and stories from real people just like you who have discovered enlightenment through the Kane's approach. Visit www.transformationmadeeasy.com. Transformationmadeeasy.com.
Discovering Our True Nature with host Brandon Cohen takes you on a journey into consciousness with guided meditations and a discussion which supports connection with your true self. Join Brandon every Tuesday at 12 p.m. Pacific Time on the Seventh Wave Network and discover your true nature.
Never before in the history of live radio have such illuminating revelations challenged everything we thought we knew about the hidden realms. This exceptional mystic, seer, and healer creates a truly amazing bridge across the chasm that has separated man for eons from the unseen worlds of mystery. Join host Alameen for an extraordinary and enlightening hour by Walking Between the Worlds on Voice America's Seventh Wave Network. Walking Between the Worlds airs live every Wednesday at 7 a.m. Pacific Time right here on the Seventh Wave Network.
Listening on a higher dimension. Seventh Wave Network.
You are listening to Being Here with host Ariel and Shia Kane. Now, back to Being Here.
Welcome back to Being Here. Transformation in the workplace.
That's the topic.
And we have David on the line. David, you there?
Hey, guys.
Hey.
Hi.
How are you guys?
We're great.
How you doing?
I'm doing great. I'm really enjoying the show. That last part was really awesome. You guys are awesome.
Thank you.
Did it apply to you as well?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Very
great.
Cool.
Excellent.
Yeah.
Do you have a question for us?
I do have a question. And
all right.
I would say... I kind of feel like it's a two-part question, but we'll see where it goes. It kind of has to do with, I would say, politics in the workplace and integrity. So let me explain. I'm a system administrator, which means I work with computers.
Okay.
At a law firm.
All right.
And I've recently been promoted to a position where I'm now kind of stepping more up into, instead of just doing more technical stuff, to where I'm managing projects more and actually interacting with attorneys more to find out what their needs are and assessing just, you know, what will benefit them with technology.
Well, okay. Congratulations on your promotion.
Thank you very much. Yeah, it's really great. I'm really happy about it. And but what's happening is, you know, I have actually two managers in my IT department above me. One's the IT director and another is a systems manager, and I work with them closely and more closely as I manage projects and step into that role. But, you know, there's a lot of, I'm starting to work with the attorneys, and there's this, I'm starting to see that there's politics involved, and they advise me on, well, there's a political camp here, and they actually use the word sometimes, there's different camps of attorneys. And
so are you talking about internal politics within your company?
Exactly, yes.
Okay, good.
So there's different attorneys within that want different things to happen, and they may agree or disagree with the way other attorneys do stuff.
Right.
So as I step in, sometimes it's starting to feel like where there's certain lines I'm maybe talking to an attorney and I'm saying, oh, this, but then I'm not so sure whether or not I should offer up or continue the conversation this way. And in the past, it's always been go and check with my bosses, but there's an element to where they're also giving me rein to step in and say, okay, you're the lead, you're the one who should do this. So I sometimes just get a little thrown off center and saying, uh-oh, I need to think about a whole new dynamic, and it's kind of sometimes just miswiring my brain. It feels like I kind of have a little bug out session or something.
Here's the thing, David.
Yeah.
You can either second guess yourself constantly about how to do it right, or you can be honest with yourself and say what's true for you.
Yeah.
I've noticed something so far in our conversation with you that there are a lot of qualifying terms in your conversation, as in, you know, and it's like, and it's kind of, you know, it's like, sort of, and in a way, all of those type of terms, so that you don't have to be exactly where you are. You actually are creating yourself as a moving target. So that if somebody
if you don't say it the way they want to hear it, they won't come after you.
Yeah, that's dead on. I'm laughing just because I feel like a moving target.
Right.
It feels like that, like I'm all around.
See, here's the thing. Are they going to fire you?
No.
If you tell the truth about how you see a certain project should go, are they going to fire you for that?
No.
They may not agree with it, but then you'll get their input. You know, honesty is a very strange phenomena. You know Judge Judy?
Yeah, I've seen Judge Judy.
Speaking of lawyers.
Yeah.
She's great. You know, I watch her frequently because she gives me hope for humanity when I see her. She says, honesty, if you're honest, you don't need to have a good memory. And since I don't have a good memory, I prefer to be honest. Now, you know what I mean by that?
Yeah.
If you get busy in the political game of trying to be in one camp or another, you're always going to have to remember who you sucked up to.
And what you said.
Yeah.
How you lied.
Yes.
And how to cover that lie with another lie. And pretty soon your life becomes a lie.
Yeah.
You can't be you feeling comfortable in your skin if you have to lie. Now, lie is a strong word, but color the truth. Avoid saying what's true for you for a political, expediency.
And for status and to be liked.
Yeah.
Who knew this was going to be the theme today?
Yeah, being liked, right?
It's interesting. Let's talk a little bit for a moment with you, David, about the...
Well, before...
Okay, go ahead.
See, it's not just about being liked. It's about being straight, being honest, about what's true for you in each of these projects that you're doing. You
yeah.
give your best assessment of what needs to be done or what shouldn't be done, and then they'll give you feedback.
And because it is a political arena that you are playing in, you don't need to personalize the input, because some people will take opposition just because they
That's
think
the way
person,
they do.
Person A likes it, so person B is compelled to take opposition.
Yes, I've definitely seen that.
But
definitely.
If you don't fight that as a dynamic, you will discover that you will create a product that is excellent. Mm. See, now...
Ariel, you were going to go back to the principles of transformation, am I right?
I was. I'm not quite sure in what relation, because I started listening to you and it left.
Ah, it left, right. Well,
yeah.
That's what happens when you listen.
You know, because the difference between change and transformation is very dramatic, but I don't know where I was going with that because I went to listen to you.
Okay. Sorry.
That's okay. But, you know, that's what happens. If you don't have an agenda to get somewhere, David, then you'll follow
what they're saying and get interested in what they want, and then you'll be able to produce that. Mm. But if you're trying to promote somebody else's agenda, or if you've sided with one side against the other rather than listening to both and finding out what they need.
I recall what it was. There was something that I heard in what you said toward the beginning. You started talking about how you work for lawyers and lawyers, and it was like heavy on the lawyers, kind of like it used to be when I would talk about my mother or my father, you know, where the consonant take on extra pop. And one of the things that's happened as you've moved up in the echelon of your company is the company is structured in a hierarchy. And so you are starting to step into the hierarchical thought process. But you need to also maintain a transformational perspective, which is not where you have the partners, the junior partners, the assistants, it's not stratified, it's more one of partnership, where you listen to people rather than you have the big wigs and the low wigs.
Yeah, you're right. It gets very hierarchical, and for me to, with transformation and the fortune of working with you guys as well here in New York, is to be able to see that I do, since there's a hierarchy and that's the way a lot of people think, I need to also transformationally say, hey, this is the hierarchy is there within the culture, but myself, I don't have to necessarily step into that, or I don't have to step into that in order to, when I'm working with somebody one-on-one and trying to find out their needs and how I can help them.
Well, that was a little confusing, David.
Well, it's that there's a lot of times I'm starting to, I mean, I've been, and prior to transformation, I admit I hierarchically was the way that I thought, based in a change type of way of living, I guess. But when I...
Is what you're saying you used to have people sorted out by who is more important and who is less important?
I mean, I still do sort that way. It's just a matter of seeing it or not. But yes, that's true. Who's more important, less important. And at times it's... The way I was trained also through my job was that, you know, respond to this person first, respond to this person second, and third.
Well, I tell you what. You know what's important now? We have to take this break. Let's come back and we'll talk a little more after the break, okay?
Okay.
Okay, come on back, everyone. Don't miss being here.
Your online community for positive change. Seventh Wave Network.
ready to be inspired, entertained, and enlightened? Let award-winning authors Ariel and Shia Kane support you in discovering a state of well-being that in the past was rarely, if ever, achieved. Now you too can experience Ariel and Shia's revolutionary new technology, Instantaneous Transformation, that has helped thousands discover how to have more satisfying lives without working on themselves or their problems. Visit www.transformationmadeeasy.com to receive free audio downloads and to sign up for the Kane's weekly newsletter featuring articles, inspiring quotes, and stories from real people just like you who have discovered enlightenment through the Kane's approach. Visit www.transformationmadeeasy.com. Transformationmadeeasy.com.
Discovering Our True Nature with host Brandon Cohen takes you on a journey into consciousness with guided meditations and a discussion which supports connection with your true self. Join Brandon every Tuesday at 12 p.m. Pacific Time on the Seventh Wave Network and discover your true nature. Tune into Inner Speak Soul Adventures Talk Radio Show every Tuesday evening at 5 p.m. Pacific Time, 8 Eastern, and learn how to let go of your past and create the reality you desire and deserve, allowing your inner communication to take place more easily without the interference of our noisy mind chatter or your ego. Inner Speak Soul Adventures with Gene Adrian, right here on the 7th Wave Network.
Be extraordinary. 7th Wave Network.
You are listening to Being Here with host Ariel and Shia Kane. Now, back to Being Here.
Welcome back to Being Here.
We're talking about transformation in the workplace, and we're talking with David, who's a system engineer, is it?
System administrator.
Administrator.
Okay.
For a law firm in New York City.
Okay. So got a little confused there toward the end.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously there are hierarchies wherever you work. The boss's needs definitely take priority over a lot of other people's needs and maybe over everybody's needs. But at the same time, there's a thing where you can discover how to not hold them as so big and important that you intimidate yourself and have to qualify what you have to say.
Yes, yeah, that's that.
And
yeah.
They hold you as their expert, you see.
Yeah.
So they have a vested interest in listening to you.
Yes, thank you for reminding me. I often forget that.
Okay, so you had a question.
Yeah, you know, and this is good because my question did kind of end up in two parts, and it's more towards what I feel is the integrity side, which is that there are times when I've been asked to say something that I knew wasn't what I saw as the truth, what I saw as what's going on.
Who was asking you to say this?
One of my managers.
Okay.
And
do you have an example?
If I have an example, let's see. Say there's a new project we're working on.
Right.
And we're designing some things for the project, and there's certain pieces of information that I might think will benefit the attorneys, but my manager, for administration purposes, would say, well, this or maybe this person in this other party or further up the hierarchy wouldn't like that. When I can see I feel there's a benefit to. There could be a potential benefit to everybody for it, but it's kind of like a withholding of information, like don't talk about that, don't talk about this, and it's kind of a closed in, I've got to limit what I say, which I understand. I mean, they're my manager, and they are where they are, but there's sometimes I feel this little shake, like this lack of integrity or something when I'm asked, and if they ask me to, maybe in the meeting, somebody would say, well, is this possible, and I would have to say, well, we can't really do that. You know, an attorney would ask me, and I would have to say no because I've been instructed to say no. I don't know if that makes sense or not.
Well, it just muddies the water, basically. Because now,
okay.
So you've been asked to do things that you consider out in your integrity.
Yeah, I feel they're out of my integrity because basically...
So then you should have a conversation with your supervisor and say, look, you know, when you say that, I honestly think that that should be in the system. So we need to reach some sort of agreement here that if asked, I'm not going to lie.
Mm.
Or if somebody says, can it be done, I have to say it with a caveat. It can be done, but it doesn't seem to be a top priority.
Or what it will cost in resources to produce it makes it unacceptable.
So if it's something that you really want, you may need to go and speak to your bosses to lobby for it, but it's because it's not something that we can devote time to. Like, there's a possibility to communicate fully.
Right.
See, and you don't communicate fully because you don't want to get people upset with you.
Absolutely. Yeah, that's very true.
And I don't believe that you should get people upset with you. I think that getting people upset with you, you got to be doing things to, in effect, aggravate or annoy them.
The other thing is, if your boss has said to you, listen, David, we cannot do...
This, or this, well, then don't
Then
say,
when the lawyer says,
can you do this,
the answer is no.
Right.
There's a difference between surrender and succumb.
See, if you're fighting with your father, for instance, and the lawyer or your boss, your supervisor, is a man, then you will not want to follow his instructions. Same way you don't want to follow your father's instructions.
Right. Yeah, it'll be, yeah, I see what you mean, because I'll, even though I'll do what I'm told, there'll be this feeling inside of no.
Disgruntlement. You will victimize yourself by doing it. What you're talking about is succumbing to his requests.
Rather than making them yours, finding a reason why to back his perspective. It is a his, yes?
Yes.
Right, okay, so in this case, his perspective.
See, you need to make your supervisor look good.
Mm.
You don't like that, do you?
Well, no, I'm taking a look, and I'm seeing, like, did I do that? I couldn't do that. Oh, yeah, I do that. Seeing
what,
that...
What's the that that you do?
I'm sorry, there are times when I know that I am...
No, don't say there are times. That's more qualifying it again.
Okay, that I do undermine.
That's right.
Yes.
Hey, if you can see that without making yourself wrong for having done it, that's all it'll take to stop doing it, because the third principle of transformation says anything that you discover in your behavior or way of being that you do not judge, do not make yourself wrong for or right for, will complete itself the moment you see it. So if you see that you undermine, that's the beginning of the end of undermining, if that's your desire to not undermine.
Wow. That's really great. I didn't expect the conversation to go this way.
Right. But you see, unless you're willing to see the way you're operating anthropologically, you know, not to judge it or make yourself right or wrong for it, but to just notice it, then you can impact how it is that you operate. But otherwise, you perpetuate the things you say you don't like.
Yeah.
It's exciting.
Yeah, that's great. Thank you very
much. I'm excited for you, because one of the things that could be happening for you, David, that you're just starting to see is inadvertently you may be competing with your supervisor to be the better, nicer guy. So if you can't give them something they want, you can kind of tip your hat. Well, I could do it, but they won't let me. So that if there's any disgruntlement, it's not aimed at you.
Yes.
And it's like being the better boyfriend to
the other lawyers that you're working with, well, I would, but bad dad, mean boss, rotten supervisor won't let me, so I'm your buddy.
Right. Gotcha.
Now, if it's a habit, which it probably is, if you don't judge it, but you bring awareness to it, you'll start to catch it after you've done it. The next thing you'll do is you'll catch it as you're about to do it.
And it will still happen.
And then...
Or at least there's a possibility that it will still happen. And then you'll start catching it before it happens, and you will have the power not to have to do it.
Sometimes when you have a habit, it has a momentum on its own. So don't judge it when you see it. In fact, if you look for it, you may see it all over the place. Okay?
Okay. Thanks a lot, you guys. That's
great.
Yeah,
thank you.
Thanks for being here with us.
That's the name of the show,
Being Here.
And all of you out there, thank you also for being here.
And don't forget to share transformation with your friends.
You can go up to our website. You can join our email list. Have your friends.
TransformationMadeEasy.com.
And we're going to be here next week. So, everybody, thanks again for being here. Come on back.
And don't miss...
Being Here.
We hope you have enjoyed today's episode of Being Here. If you would like to learn more about instantaneous transformation, visit the Canes website at www.transformationmadeeasy.com. TransformationMadeEasy.com. Be sure to tune in next Wednesday for another exciting and